My text this morning is verse 14, the first one we read, where it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Paul, the writer of Ephesians, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is quoting from a couple places in the book of Isaiah, I think chapter 26 and then chapter 60, where these same thoughts are conveyed in the Old Testament. But a preacher likes verses like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, because it's a verse that it contains a whole sermon. It has 3 points right there in that one verse. Awake, thou that sleepest. That describes a sinner. Arise from the dead. That's what a sinner needs to do. And then, for Christ, or and Christ, shall give thee light. That's what a sinner needs to come to, the light of the world. And so I'm going to use that verse this morning. I'm going to talk about those 3 points. I have a couple illustrations because I knew you would all sort of be a little tired this morning after losing an hour of sleep. And so I want you to do, if you're here this morning and you're saved, then you rejoice in that you've taken these steps already. If you're here this morning and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, then you need to do what this verse says. It says, first of all, awake thou that sleepest. And I'll just use the analogy that the Bible does. The Bible in that verse, when it says asleep, is describing a sinner. A person that is not saved is asleep. A person that is not converted is asleep. A person that's not walking in the grace of God, in the grace of Christ, is asleep. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. It could be 6 o'clock in the morning. It could be noon. It could be 6 o'clock at night. It could be at midnight. It doesn't matter. If you're a sinner who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are asleep. Now, here's how the Bible paints that picture. Now, I know there's some people that work different shifts, and as a result, you have to sleep later in the day. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking a guy that's either retired or has a normal job that works in the day. If we see that person asleep at noon, again, I'm not talking about people that work third shift or anything like that, but a person that, you know, has a normal routine, if we see that person asleep at noon or at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we don't think too highly of them. And the Bible doesn't describe them in a positive light. It talks about those people that are lazy and don't have much ambition. And it talks about how their life is going to come to a ruin and be messed up because they spend most of their time sleeping. And yet, that's how the Bible describes a sinner. Somebody that is asleep to the things of God. Somebody that is asleep to the things of Jesus Christ. And you might think, well, the Bible's not being very complimentary when it's talking about people like that. And I'll just tell you this morning that the Bible is not complimentary to those that are lost in Christ and in their sin. You see, the world wants to do it different. The world wants to dress up sin and call it by a different name and say, well, it's an alternative lifestyle. It's a choice that people make. They even call some sin sickness. And the Bible cuts through all that. And the Bible says, no, sin is sin. Some of the sins it calls an abomination in God's sight. And that's just how God deals with sin. God doesn't try to dress up sin. God doesn't try to make it look better or sound better or be better, because God knows that that sin is sin and the wages of sin is death, and people need to be warned about their sin. And so, whether you know it or not, you come to a church that believes the same thing. We will not dress up sin. We will not call it by different names. We will stick to this book, and we will call it what God calls it, a sin, and we will preach the punishment of that sin. We will not dress it up and say, well, look, if you're good enough, you're going to be okay. That's not what the Bible says. If you call your sin by a different name, you're going to be okay. That's not what the Bible says. If you call it a sickness or a choice, it's going to be okay. That's not what the Bible says. And that's why some people don't like churches like this, because they don't want to be confronted with their sin. But that's exactly what they need. People need to awake from sleep and see that they're a sinner. You see, whether you believe it or not, the truth is the truth. And the truth will win out. I mean, just because we try to change the truth means things are going to be changed. That's not the way God works. The truth is the truth. You may not be awakened to the knowledge of your sin, therefore you're asleep, but you're still a sinner. You may not be awake to its penalty and the punishment, being separated from God. You're asleep, but you're still going to pay that punishment. You may not be aware that you can't shake it off by yourself, that you can't do anything, and you're destined for hell. And you're asleep, and the Bible says that if you die in that sin, you will be separated from God forever. And so what you need to do this morning is wake up, awake to the truth being preached, awake to the gospel that's being preached, and hear it. Now, let me illustrate. I always pick on Nick, so I'll give him this opportunity to do something he's always wanted to do. Come on up here. I want you to lay down right here and go to sleep. Just don't snore. All right. So here's a person that's asleep. Now, and I know he's not asleep yet, but let's just pretend that he's asleep. I mean, a sound sleeper. I can go to him and I can tell him things, but because he's asleep, he will not hear him. I could go to him, keep your eyes closed. I could go to him, for example, and say, Nick, do you know you have two different color socks on? You have a white one and a black one. Somebody's adding music. All right. So, but he won't hear it. He is asleep. I could go to him and say, Nick, you've got some lint in your mustache. Now, I'm making all this stuff up. You guys that can't see him, I'm just making all this. Angie's up here saying, oh, no, does he have really two different pair of socks? No, well, he's got the right socks on. There's no lint in his mustache. But I could tell him, Nick, you have lint in your mustache, and he won't hear it. I could go to him and say, Nick, your shirt is buttoned out of alignment. I mean, you got the buttons and the holes. They're not matched up. And he won't hear it. In order to hear the truth, you've got to wake up. And I'll be honest with you, there are some people, I mean, just talking about sleep for a minute, real sleep, that have a hard time waking up. I remember Adam when he was going to high school. He had a rough time waking up. He's deaf in one ear, and so if he was sleeping on his good ear, he couldn't hear the alarm. And so he would have two alarms set to their max. He would have a strobe light that would come on and flash. And then he would have a tape recorder that had his, I don't know whose voice it was, I can't remember whose voice it was, that would just say, get up, get up, get up, until he got up. And so some people have a hard time waking up. The same thing is true in a spiritual sense. I mean, some people have a hard time waking up and hearing the gospel. Some people have a rough time waking up and hearing that they're a sinner and that there's a penalty for that sin. You see, I can Nick's asleep, and I can tell him his socks don't match and he's got lint in his mustache and his shirt is out of line. All those are inconsequential things, unless you're married to him. But they're inconsequential things. But a person that is asleep spiritually is in mortal danger. It'd be like a person that's asleep in a burning house, or a person that's asleep on a railroad track with a train approaching. I mean, they need to wake up and hear the danger. The same thing is, I mean, that's the condition of a person that's asleep spiritually. They need to wake up and hear the gospel. Now listen, if we were passing a house that was on fire, we would do whatever we need to do to make sure that nobody was in that house asleep. I mean, you would go up to that house if you passed it in the middle of the night and you saw flames and smoke coming out. You go up and, hey, 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 wake up, wake up, wake up. Your house is on fire. I mean, you might get to the point where you might throw a rock through a window. You would do everything that you knew to do to make sure that there was nobody in that house asleep to save their lives. Same thing. If you ran across a hobo, I'm dating myself when I say that, but if you ran across a hobo that was asleep on the railroad tracks and a train was coming, you wouldn't go up to that hobo and say, hey, 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 mister, you need to wake up. No, no, stay out of my preaching. Just lay there. You're asleep. I hate it when I get these guys that improvise. But, I mean, you wouldn't go to them in a soft voice and say, hey, you need to wake up. There's a train coming. It's going to chop you right in half. No, if you saw somebody asleep on the railroad track and a train was coming, you go over and say, hey, 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 wake up, wake up. There's a train coming. You need to get off the track. I mean, you might not even know them. But you would think enough of them and their life that you would do whatever's necessary to wake them up. Now, the same thing is true when somebody's asleep and they don't hear the gospel. They don't know that they're a sinner. They don't know there's a penalty for that sin. They don't know that penalty is to be separated from God forever. We need to do everything we can to help them wake up and hear the message of the Bible. I mean, we need to do everything that we can to help them open their eyes and see themselves the way that God sees them, that all their righteousnesses is as filthy rags, and because of that sin, they're going to pay an eternal price to be separated from God forever. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I say every way I can, wake up! Hear what the Bible says. Sin is sin. And it doesn't matter how the world tries to dress it up. Sin is still sin. And sinners will pay the price of sin to be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. So you need to wake up. And then that verse goes on, though. It doesn't stop after saying awake. It says, number two, arise from the dead. And it's got to be in this sequence. You can't get up till you wake up. Now, I know you say, well, what about sleepwalkers? They get up before they wake up. I know, but they're in danger too. I mean, they can get into all sorts of trouble, especially if they walk outside the house while they're still asleep. So most of us, everybody, needs to wake up before they get up. And I'll just tell you, not every person who wakes up is a person that gets up. For some people, there is a big difference between waking up and getting up. I mean, there are some people that are not so hard to wake up. Okay, Nick, wake up. And he opens his eyes. But it could still be a big problem for him to get up. And there are a lot of people that know exactly what I'm talking about, because how many of you have snooze buttons on your radio? All right, how many of you use them? Okay. You're an illustration of what I'm saying. There's a difference between waking up and getting up. I mean, when the alarm goes off, we know we're supposed to get up. I mean, that's why we set the alarm. Get up. But we're warm. We're comfortable. We say, what's the rush? I got plenty of time to get ready. So we just we push the snooze button, and we lay there until the alarm goes off again. I had a guy in college. He had a snooze button that lasted for an hour. I said, why don't you just set the alarm an hour later? He said, oh, no, I feel like I'm getting an extra hour of sleep when I can push the alarm and sleep for another hour. I never did understand that. But the same thing is true in a spiritual sense. And I will tell you, it's illustrated just about every service that we have here. There are lost people that are here, and they're awake, and they hear the gospel. They hear that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. They hear what Jesus did for them on Calvary's cross. And they are awake and they hear it, but they never get up. They never arise and come to Christ. I mean, they say the same thing that we do when we're like Nick, laying there and our eyes are open, where we're awake, but we don't get up. They say, well, I'm in a comfortable place. Everything's going good for me. I don't have a lot of problems, so I'm comfortable here. And besides that, I got plenty of time. I mean, I know the preacher keeps saying that today is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time. But look, I'm young, or I'm a young adult. I got my whole life in front of me. And by the way, there's a liar that will confirm what you're saying. There's a liar that will agree with you and tell you exactly what you want to hear. His name is Satan. He'll tell you, oh yeah, you're young, you got plenty of time. You don't need to get saved today. You got your whole life ahead of you. If you get saved today, you'll have to make a bunch of changes in your life. Why would you want to do that? You're having a good time. I mean, and you're comfortable. I mean, you don't have a lot of big problems. Why would you want to change anything in your life? The truth is, if you're awake and have not gotten up, you're laying in a graveyard, you need to look around and what's lying next to you. I mean, there are bones, there are bodies that are rotting in decay. You're heading in the same direction because the wages of sin is death, spiritual separation from God. And if you just lay there and don't get up, you're going to go to the same place. If you just lay there and ignore the gospel and never get up and come to Christ, you're going to pay the punishment for sin. And by the way, if you don't get up, you might go back to sleep. You might go back to sleep. And if you do that long enough, the Holy Spirit of God might say, well, go ahead and sleep. You've rejected me so many times, I'm going to quit calling you. You say, what's the unpardonable sin, preacher? The unpardonable sin, let me just help you. The unpardonable sin is when a sinner says no to the Holy Spirit over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, to where the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'm not going to call you anymore. That's the unpardonable sin. A sin that God can never forgive because you've rejected the gospel. So, I was worried about you for a minute. I heard you breathing deep. So, here's a person that pictures a sinner. They're asleep. And so the Bible says you need to wake up. You need to hear what God wants you to hear. Not only do you need to wake up, you need to get up and arise. Okay, thanks, Nick. You can go back and sit down. You need to get up and arise. And there may be somebody here this morning that needs to do exactly that. You're awake, you've heard the gospel, now you need to come to that truth, and you need to get up and take the gift of salvation. And then that verse says, then Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee light. We sing about Jesus being the light of the world. You know, a person that's asleep loves darkness. I mean, most people I know that when they go to sleep, they pull down especially if they're going to sleep in the middle of the day, they pull down the shades and they block out all the sun. They want it dark. And a person that's asleep and apart from Christ, that's exactly how they want it. Jesus said, I am come into the world that they might have light and see their sin. And it says over there in the first chapter of John, men love darkness rather than light because in the darkness they can't see their sin. But Jesus comes as the light of the world. He comes as God's perfect standard. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look, we can find other people that are in our world that we can point to and say, hey, look, God, I'm better than they are. I don't sin as much as they do. I don't do the things that they do. Like the publican in the temple that says, boy, I'm glad I'm, or like the rich man in the temple said, I'm glad that I come to the temple every day, and I'm glad that I give my offerings every day, and I'm glad I live a good life. And the publican who was standing over in the corner of the temple wouldn't even lift up his head and say, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, the rich people, like in that story that Jesus told, don't want the light to come into the world. Sinners don't want the light to come into the world because they love darkness rather than light. Because light shows their sin. Why do you think most robbers work at night? Why do you think most people that do things wrong, they do it at night? Because they don't want the light. The darkness, they think, hides it. And so Jesus says, or this verse says, awake, arise, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, a person that's awake, for the most part, doesn't want to live in darkness. I mean, when you get up, you want it to be light. What do you do? I mean, what's the first thing that most of us do when we get up? We turn on the light so we can see, so we don't stub our toe. We turn on the light. And people that are awake and are up want the light on. And when we wake up and when we get up and we come to Christ, he gives us light to walk in. Psalm 119:105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you are a sinner in darkness. You're a sinner in darkness. You can't see. You don't know what's going on around you. But if you come to the light, if you come to Jesus Christ, he'll give you light to walk in. He'll let you see what's up ahead. You not only will walk in the light, you will walk with the light, and you'll walk to a place that will never be dark. Where there is no need for light, because the light of the world is there all the time. I'm talking about heaven. So, what's your condition this morning? Are you awake? That's good. Have you gotten up? Have you responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you come to the light of the world? Let me just tell you, when Satan tells you you got all the time in the world, he's lying to you. He's lying to you. None of us know how much time we got. You say, preacher, I don't think you try to scare people like that. Yeah, and you're probably the ones that think when somebody's laying on a railroad track and a train's coming, you ought to just go over there and whisper in the ear, amazing grace. No. Listen to me. I'm going to do what I can to wake you up. If I got to scare you into heaven, so be it. You don't have all the time. God could call you home today, or he could call you home tomorrow. This may be the last service that you get to sit in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This may be the last chance that you have to ask him to be your Savior. Now, why would you waste it? And why wouldn't I, and why wouldn't those that are saved this morning do everything they can to get you to come to Jesus Christ? I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. To get you to come to Christ. And again, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, maybe it's your first time here, maybe you've been here hundreds of times, but you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, it's not a better day than today to do it. Not a better time than right now to do it. You need to be saved, and you need to be saved right now. This moment. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to invite you to come. And if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you just walk down the aisle. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for over and over in many different places and many different ways you invite us to come to the Savior. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Christ, today would be their day. Right now would be their time. They would see their sin. They would understand there's a penalty for it. And they would see the one who died in their place, the one, the light of the world, who wants them to come to him. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray we never get tired of hearing what happened to us. I pray we never grow old of hearing how wonderful you were when you saved us. And so I pray if there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, I pray this morning you'll help us get it out. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.